Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry to interrupt the conversations, but we are on a bit of a forced march here because we want to make sure that the foreign minister is able to make his meeting. He has to leave here by 1:15, as you heard. My name is John Hamry. I, like John Frisbee, would like to say welcome to all of you. Thank you. We're delighted to welcome a very, very good friend and a long-standing friend back to CSIS, and that's Ambassador and now Foreign Minister Yang. He distinguished himself when he was in our midst on a daily basis, and I'm pleased to say he remains a close friend to us, and we're very, very pleased to welcome him back. Welcome him back at a remarkably important time. I mean, there's so many things in the world right now. I don't remember a time where where problems are more fertile. And we are abounding in difficulties, and fortunately we've got strategic leadership to help us with it, and we welcome you today. I'm going to turn to Dr. Brzezinski to offer the introduction. I just would like to say you all know that Dr. Brzezinski was the guy that really was there to establish the formal diplomatic relations. It's a fascinating story in its own right. I mean, and if it were not today, in our short time, I'd ask him to relay a little bit of it to you. Was just in China earlier this year to commemorate the 30th anniversary of these formal relations. And, you know, for countries that looked at each other with such hostility to have both embraced a strategy of engaging each other with such success, it's remarkable. So I want to say that's a marvelous gift that you gave us as big in your tenure. Let me turn to you and have you introduce Foreign Minister Yang. Thank you.
Well, it's one of those moments when it's a real pleasure to introduce someone who is a friend, whom one knows well, admires, has dealt with frequently, and whose role in the world is constructive, significant, expanding. So I'm delighted to welcome Foreign Minister Yang Jiechi to CSIS, where he has been many times. I do so particularly because there are two special reasons which I want to mention. He's a foreign minister who knows this country extraordinarily well, and that's always a good thing in a complex relationship. Rooted deeply in Chinese intellectual life and history, a scholar himself, his brother is incidentally also a major scholar in China, he knows Chinese perspective on the world from the inside out, so to speak. It's inherent in his view, in his worldview, in his education, in his cultural experience. But he also knows us very well as well. Out of the 25 years of his recent diplomatic history, out of those 25 years, 10 of them have been spent in the United States on 3 tours of duty. So he's a person who has seen us develop and change. He was here under President Reagan. He was here under President Clinton. He was here under President Bush I. So he got a real whiff of what this country is capable of, for better or for worse. So he knows us well. But secondly, it's also very important to know that he is the foreign minister, not only of the People's Republic of China, but of a global China. Of a China that has been rising peacefully, to use a term that the Chinese themselves use, to global preeminence, which is now significant on a worldwide basis. And that is a very important reality, and one which dictates consequences for our relationship with global China. I had the opportunity, as John just mentioned, to be in China a month and a half ago, to celebrate the 30th anniversary of the normalization of relations between the People's Republic of China and the United States, between Deng Xiaoping and President Carter. And I used the occasion to say that the moment is ripe in our relationship to really develop deliberately and in a formal fashion the equivalent of a comprehensive G2 relationship, not just a relationship in the area of finances and economics, but in the broader, the widest geopolitical sense of the word. a relationship in which we discuss on a systematic basis the whole range of complex issues that affects the world in general and both of our countries in particular. We need to have annual summit meetings between our leaders. We need to have systematic consultations among the major on the major issues. We need to have a relationship as comprehensive or more so as we have with Japan and with the EU because of China's preeminent role in the world scene. And I hope we're moving that way. And moving that way, I think, would be in keeping what your leadership, Mr. Foreign Minister, is talking about, namely the notion of a harmonious world. This is something we want too. And the notion of a harmonious world can be a platform for that kind of G2 relationship, a platform in which we would strive to avoid a world dominated by clash of civilizations, a platform which we would use to promote a reconciliation of civilizations, something that is urgently needed at a stage in human history in which the world is politically awakened in total for the first time in all of its history, politically awakened and is stirring and restless and needs major cooperation among the major powers. And I cannot think of two more important than China and America, and this is why I'm so happy to have the opportunity to welcome you here and to hear from you today. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Brzezinski, for a very warm and generous introduction. Dr. Hamry, Ambassador Callahills, President John Frisby, my dear colleagues, Ambassador Zhou, Vice Minister He, ladies and gentlemen, it is a distinct honor and a pleasure for me to be back at CSIS, and I thank Dr. Hamry and President John Frisby for hosting me today. I think both CSIS and U.S.-China Business Council have been at the forefront of promoting China-U.S. relationship, rain or shine. And I find in your midst so many familiar faces, so many old friends who have helped me along during my diplomatic career, whether I stayed here in this country or back in China, working for this very important bilateral relationship between us. And it is also a great pleasure to see some new faces here. I think you have made the right choice to join the right club. This is a very important relationship. This is a worthy cause. Dr. Brzezinski, I cannot begin my speech without saying a few words. I really mean just a few words about you yourself. And you are a household name in China. Everybody in China knows that you were one of the most important pioneers for breaking the ice, for establishing China-U.S. diplomatic ties. As a young interpreter on the South Lawn of the White House when Vice Premier Deng Xiaoping at that time visited the United States. And by the way, our ambassador, Ambassador Zhou at that time was working in our embassy here. And we were both there and we saw you there. And we admire what you did for this relationship. And since then you have been working so hard, endlessly for this relationship. And I must say that when I was ambassador here, I troubled you a lot. Sometimes, without your agreement, I would barge into your office and ask you a few questions. I remember we had many meetings together, but you are a person who calculates very well. When I shot a question at you, and you would ask me a question. But I try to make sure that the ratio will be 60% at least to 40%. I will ask 60% questions because there's so much wisdom in you. And we continue to to need to hear from you on various issues, particularly how to push forward China-U.S. relationship. Ladies and gentlemen, we're now in early spring. There's an old saying in China which goes, a year's success starts from work in spring. It means that plowing and sowing in spring is crucial to agriculture production and harvest of the whole year. The most important purpose of my visit is to make preparations for the meeting between President Hu Jintao and President Barack Obama in London in early April. Yesterday, I had good discussion with both Secretary Clinton and Secretary Geithner. We covered a wide range of issues, including the bilateral agenda and regional and international affairs, and reached much consensus. Both sides agree that solid groundwork has already been done by the two sides for the very important London meeting between our two heads of state. Today, I will have the distinct honor of meeting President Obama and Vice President Biden. I will also see National Security Advisor General Jones. Let me say that the two sides shared the view that the upcoming meeting between our two presidents in London is of great significance for China-U.S. relations in the new era. Both sides are committed to pushing forward this vitally important relationship between our two nations. Earlier this year, our two countries held big celebrations of the 30th anniversary of diplomatic relations. I attended some of these commemorative events with many old and new friends. A review of the past gives me a lot of food for thought. The tremendous progress of China-U.S. relations goes well beyond what those who were most optimistic about this relationship 30 years ago had ever expected. People want to know, in the 21st century, when mankind faces major opportunities and challenges, what is the strategic foundation of China-U.S. relations? This is a question that I often ask myself too. I, for one, believe the strategic foundation of China-U.S. relations lies in our major and unique responsibility of maintaining world peace and stability. As permanent members of the UN Security Council and as the world's largest developing country and largest developed one, respectively, China and the United States have maintained close consultation, coordination, and mutually beneficial cooperation in many international affairs. We have worked together to manage complicated and tough regional hotspot issues, fight terrorism, proliferation, and transnational crimes, meet global challenges such as climate change, energy and the environment, and undertake necessary reform in the international system based on justice and equality. One can hardly find an area where China-U.S. cooperation is not needed. Comprehensive cooperation in the global area has tied our two countries and peoples to each other. I, for one, believe that the strategic foundation of China-U.S. relations lies in our ever-expanding common interests in promoting sustainable economic development in the world. We live in a world where countries are more interdependent, with their interests more closely interconnected than at any time in history. At a time when the international financial crisis continues to spread and develop, the primary common interest of China and the United States is to weather the storm together like passengers in the same boat and support each other to get through the tough times and emerge from the crisis victorious. We should make due contribution to bring about a new round of world economic growth, even when the train of world economy drives into fairly smooth areas one day, there will still be the need for China and the United States, the two big engines, to jointly push the train forward on a continuous basis. I, for one, believe the strategic foundation of China-US relations lies in the long-standing friendship a mutual learning between our two peoples. They cherish a keen interest in each other's diverse culture and a strong wish to know each other better. Social and cultural exchanges between our two countries are becoming increasingly dynamic and intensive. The geographical distance of 10 plus hours flight has not stood in the way of interflow between Chinese and Americans. Each day, over 5,000 people travel across the two sides of the Pacific Ocean. Ever closer exchanges and interaction between people of our two countries contain enormous energy and have far-reaching impact. They will make people better appreciate the fact that the world is a diversified place. Human civilizations are colorful, and all countries should live in harmony. In the face of the profound changes in the international landscape and mounting global challenges, China and the United States have a new historic opportunity for the development of their relations. Our two countries shoulder greater responsibilities for world peace and stability, have more common interests, and enjoy broader prospects for cooperation. Exchanges, cooperation, and mutual benefit should be the defining features of the 21st century. Gone should be the days when countries competed at the expense of each other's interests under zero-sum mentality, because those who preach such a competition approach and model are bound to be the biggest losers today. China and the United States should and can set an example in achieving win-win progress and making greater joint efforts for an ever better world. We're happy to see that in the past 50 days since the new U.S. administration took office, our two countries have worked together and ensured a smooth transition of our relations. The two sides have established good working relations at the top level and between various government departments. President Hu Jintao and President Obama talked by phone and reached an important agreement on advancing China-US relations in the new era. Secretary Clinton paid a successful visit to China last month, which contributed in a big way to our mutual understanding and cooperation. The two countries have maintained close consultation and coordination in bilateral and multilateral areas. A good beginning is half the success. This good start has laid the groundwork for the further growth of China-US relations. We should now set our sight on the longer term and draw up a good blueprint for China-US relations in the coming years. We should make concerted efforts and promote sound and steady growth of our relations. Ladies and gentlemen, to advance China-US relations in the new era, we should adopt a strategic and long-term perspective and keep the relations on the right track. During his telephone conversation with President Hu Jintao at the end of last January, President Obama stated the U.S. commitment to a more positive and constructive relationship with China. Secretary Clinton said to me during her visit to China that U.S.-China relations are embracing a new era of positive cooperation. We welcome such statements from the U.S. side. We believe that China and the United States now have more common interests and a broader foundation of cooperation on a series of major and pressing issues facing today's world. The strategic significance and global influence of China-U.S. relations have further increased. Our relations in the new era should be broader and deeper, and we should work together in an all-round way to raise China-U.S. relations to a new and much higher level of cooperation in the 21st century on the basis of mutual respect, seeking common ground while shelving differences and cooperation for win-win results. Mutual respect means that we should respect international law and norms governing international relations, view each other in an objective and sensible way, respect each other's choice of development path and core interests, refrain from doing anything that may harm each other's sovereignty, security, or development interests. Seeking common ground while shelving differences means that we should preserve and highlight the positive aspects of our relations. We should work hard to resolve differences and put aside those that cannot be resolved for the time being, so that they will not stand in the way of the overall development of our relations. Cooperation for win-win results means that we should expand practical cooperation and converging interests, actively respond to the opportunities as well as challenges brought by globalization, pursue common development and progress, and make contributions to world peace and development. Ladies and gentlemen, to advance China-U.S. relations in the new era, we should maintain close dialogue and exchanges at the top and other levels and cement the political foundation of the relations. Over the years, leaders of our two countries have maintained close communication on major issues concerning China-U.S. relations through mutual visits, meetings, telephone calls, and correspondence. These exchanges have given a strong boost to the sustained, sound, and steady growth of our relations. The legislatures, militaries, and government departments of the two countries have also engaged in productive exchanges and cooperation on issues of mutual interest. And the two countries have put in place diverse mechanisms for dialogue and cooperation in a wide range of areas. All these are effective ways to promote our relations and should therefore be maintained. In 2 weeks' time, President Hu Jintao and President Obama will meet in London. It will be the first meeting between our heads of state since the new U.S. administration came into office. Both sides attach great importance to this meeting and are making intensive preparations for it. I'm confident that with joint efforts of the two sides, the meeting will be a great success and chart the course for the future growth of China-U.S. relations. President Hu Jintao has invited President Obama to visit China at a mutually convenient time, and we look forward to his early visit. Through consultation, the two sides have agreed in principle to establish the China-U.S. strategic and economic dialogues mechanism and decided upon the relevant arrangements for the mechanism. We hope the two sides will work together and launch this mechanism at an early date so that through continued discussions on strategic, overarching, and long-term issues of mutual interest, we will further enhance mutual trust and cooperation. Ladies and gentlemen, to advance China-U.S. relations in the new era, we should expand mutually beneficial cooperation and inject fresh impetus into the relations. The priority for China and the United States at the moment is to tackle the international financial crisis through intensified cooperation and work together to maintain and promote world financial and economic stability. Let me in this connection say a few words about what China will do to counter the financial crisis this year. The Chinese government will focus on the implementation of a 4 trillion yuan investment program, including 1.18 trillion yuan that will come from the central budget. This program will kickstart growth by boosting domestic demand, reinvigorating industries, developing science and technology, and improving the social safety net. Some of these measures have already produced initial results, as evidenced by the recent signs of economic recovery. We will issue more than 5 trillion yuan of new loans to help enhance financial regulation and support economic growth with adequate money and credit supply. We are confident that we will maintain steady and relatively fast economic growth this year. We have been following closely measures taken by the U.S. government to stabilize financial markets and stimulate economic recovery. We sincerely hope these measures will achieve the desired results and restore the U.S. economy to growth soon. This is in the interest of the United States, China, and the rest of the world. Since the outbreak of the financial crisis, China and the United States have engaged in close and effective communication and coordination and played an important part in the international efforts to tackle the crisis. China is ready to strengthen macroeconomic policy dialogue with the United States, work with you to oppose protectionism and make fresh contributions to the stability of international financial markets and growth of the world economy. We also want to work with the United States and other countries for positive outcomes at the London G20 summit on the basis of the achievements of the Washington summit. In times of hardships, it is all the more important for China and the United States to broaden and deepen bilateral trade and economic cooperation, properly handle possible frictions and differences, and forge a stronger bond to weather the crisis. Ladies and gentlemen, China and the United States share important common interests with respect to climate change, energy, and the environment. Energy security, clean energy, energy conservation, and pollution reduction feature prominently in our respective national development strategies. China stands ready to strengthen dialogue and consultation with the United States, pursue practical cooperation in energy conservation, new energy, and renewable energy, and work with other parties under the principle of common but differentiated responsibilities to ensure the success of the Copenhagen Conference, scheduled for the end of the year. Our two countries should broaden bilateral cooperation in such fields as counterterrorism, non-proliferation, military-to-military relations, science and technology, culture and health. We should also strengthen coordination and cooperation on the Korean nuclear issue, the Iranian nuclear issue, and other regional and international issues. China-U.S. coordination and cooperation on the Korean nuclear issue has become a highlight in our bilateral relations. The six-party talks are now at a critical juncture. China will work with the relevant parties to maintain patience, demonstrate flexibility, and overcome difficulties. We move the process forward by building on past progress and strive for early denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula and enduring peace and stability in Northeast Asia. Ladies and gentlemen, to advance China-U.S. relations in the new era, we should respect and accommodate each other's core interests and make every effort to minimize potential disruption and damage to the relations. The question of Taiwan concerns China's sovereignty and territorial integrity. It represents China's core interests. Relations across the Taiwan Strait have been improving and have embarked on the track of peaceful development. There have been frequent people-to-people contacts, close economic links, and dynamic cultural exchanges between the two sides of the strait. We will continue to promote cross-strait dialogue and exchanges under the principles of establishing mutual trust, laying aside disputes, seeking consensus while shelving differences, and jointly creating a win-win situation, and bring about new progress in the peaceful development of cross-strait relations. Here I want to stress that no matter how the situation across the Taiwan Strait may evolve, we will never waver in our commitment to the One China principle, and will never compromise our opposition to Taiwan independence, two Chinas, or One China, One Taiwan. We hope that the U.S. side will honor its commitments, prudently and properly handle Taiwan-related issues, and take concrete actions to support the peaceful development of cross-strait relations. Of equal sensitivity are issues related to Tibet. Tibet is an inalienable part of Chinese territory, and Tibetan affairs are exclusively China's internal affairs. Since the launch of democratic reform 50 years ago, Tibet has made remarkable progress. Its economy has registered rapid growth. Various undertakings have advanced by leaps and bounds. Average life expectancy has almost doubled, and people's living standards have improved steadily. The fine traditional culture of Tibet has been well preserved, and the people there enjoy all rights prescribed by law. I hope that people from various sectors in the United States will appreciate these facts and understand and respect the Chinese people's position of upholding state sovereignty and territorial integrity. Dear friends, to advance China-U.S. relations in the new era, we should promote dialogue and exchanges between people of the two countries and build stronger public support for the relations. We will not forget that the ice in China-U.S. relations began to thaw with the mutual visits of our ping-pong teams, and the tremendous progress made in our relations over the last 30 years would not have been possible without the effective involvement and support of people from all walks of life in both countries. We should think creatively and continue to promote dialogue and exchanges between our legislatures, academic and business communities, and media organizations. We should also step up exchanges at the local level. Through such efforts, we'll mobilize more people to support and contribute to the growth of China-U.S. relations. It is of particular importance to look ahead to the future and vigorously promote and support exchanges and cooperation between the young people so that the cause of China-U.S. friendship will endure and prosper further. Ladies and gentlemen, friends, China and the United States should build sustained, sound, and stable relations, as this not only serves the fundamental interests of the two countries and peoples, but also contributes to world peace, stability, and development. The development of China-U.S. relations have proven time and again that China and the United States are partners for cooperation, not adversaries or enemies. Cooperation brings benefits to both countries, while confrontation hurts both sides. Some Americans often say it is through cooperation rather than conflict that your greatest successes will be derived. So let us join hands and work together for a splendid future of China-U.S. relations. Thank you.
Mr. Yang. We are so grateful for those very positive and comprehensive remarks, and we're even more grateful that with your schedule, you're willing to stay and take a couple of questions. And we've gathered many to ask from the audience today, but let me just try within our time, the minister must leave in 8 minutes, to start with, what coordinated strategy, coupled with an immediate first step, would you recommend that the G20 leaders next month take to respond to the global economic crisis?
Thank you. 30 seconds. I think the magic word is confidence. I hope that the G20 meeting will boost people's confidence. You know, this glass is more than half full. But some people will say it's more than half empty. So we have to make sure that people will look at the bright side of our efforts. And there is the bright side, because many countries have come up with good stimulus packages, and there should be better coordination. And second is that we should not let the financial problems spread further into the real economy. There should be better macroeconomic policy coordination. And then there should be a gradual reform of the international financial system and better governance of economic and financial institutions and so on. Coming from the developing world, we hope that the developing countries will have better representation and bigger say in world international financial institutions. And we do hope that there will be a joint effort to fight against protectionism. United States and China should set a good example for others. And I do hope that we will try our best to maintain the current level of trade between our two countries. We also hope that the Millennium Development Goals will be met. China has kept its pledges of aid to Africa, and in future we will even increase our aid to Africa, and we hope all countries which have made the promise will be well kept. So there's a lot on the agenda, but first things first. So I'm confident about the relationship between China and United States, and I'm also confident about the good results of our cooperation and the cooperation of all the participants at the London Summit and the international community. Thank you.
Let me very quickly ask a second question in the time that we have, and it will be the last. Climate change will be an important focus of the Obama administration. What is your view on China's taking a greater role in climate change in cooperation with the United States? What can the two governments do together?
We have taken note of the positive remarks made by the Obama administration. We believe that countering climate change could be another bright spot in China-U.S. cooperation. Both countries need to work very hard in terms of collaboration in adapting to climate change and in reducing the impact of climate change on our Mother Earth. And in such areas like clean energy, energy conservation, renewable energy, new sources of energy, there's a lot that we can do together, because the two economies are really cut out for each other. So I do hope that China and the United States will consult very closely during the run-up to the Copenhagen conference. The Copenhagen conference should be a success story based on the roadmap. And China is a responsible country, and the targets we have set for ourselves in protecting the environment and achieving energy efficiency are mandatory targets. Although we throw a lot of money into expanding our domestic demand, but restructuring our economy and doing more scientific and technological work to conserve energy, to protect the environment, are part of the an inalienable part of our overall strategy. Thank you.
May I say last word?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't plan everything very well, so I'm sorry I gave you just 8 minutes. I didn't plan my visit to coincide with some of the festivals here, like the cherry blossom. And I miss cherry blossom. I miss dogwood flowers in Washington. Somehow my arrival in Washington always coincides with early spring. When I came here back in 1983 as a second secretary, it was in early spring. And I arrived at my ambassadorial job here also in the early spring of 2001 and this time again. So I wish you a very happy spring, and I hope that you will view the cherry blossom on my behalf. Thank you.
I have a remedy for your problem of cherry blossoms. We invite you to come back. And we invite you to come back in April. We anticipate a gorgeous season. But I know that everyone in this room admires Minister Yang and is grateful for his remarks. He's a great friend of the United States, and on behalf of CSIS and the U.S.-China Business Council, I want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts for spending the time with us today. We know your visit with President Obama this afternoon will be a positive one, and we all urge that we have good and enhanced U.S.-China relations. So we wish you well in your visits, in your remaining time here, and a safe journey home. But come back in April. We'll be glad to see you.
Thank you so much.
Great to have you.